that song. That's whatever that song is.
I was hoping you'd keep going. I started the recording. I was going to get you to sing it on.
I didn't know the rest of it or else I would have. Something about poker.
I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker.
Yeah, something like that. Then it talks about
folding. Something on the run.
I'm playing poker.
Like that. Welcome to the divisional round episode for Gunslingers. I'm your host, Brendan Byrne. I hope everybody enjoyed that singing here with A.R. Boyd.
Yeah, clearly we didn't know the main chorus to the song, but we did what we could do with it.
Rest in peace, Steve Miller.
Yes, Steve Miller, legend.
Jump into some NFL news. I don't know how we transition from that.
We try our best and we just go on.
But the NFL has announced 5 teams will play home games abroad in 2023. The Chiefs and Patriots will host games in Germany. Bills, Titans, and Jaguars will play in London. The Jaguars just need to move to London.
Relocate
already.
Permanently.
Sorry, yeah. Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville fans, but it just seems like something that's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, I think
at least play
the
half their home games there.
Mm-hmm. Within the next 5 years, it's going to be the London Jaguars.
The Bills and Titans will have their home games at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The Jags will host their game at Wembley. So, the thing that sticks out, I guess, no Mexico game.
Oh, that's surprising. Mexico, I liked the Mexico game last year.
I think they maybe don't like the field as much as the other ones.
That might
be an issue.
I feel like the fan was crazy, though, for the Arizona 49ers one this year. They had the cool, they brought out the Mexican, like, luchador people and everything.
I gotta be honest, I don't think I watched that game. I didn't know they did that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did it, like,
that was
a couple hours
before. Walked down with Okay, mm-hmm. I do remember that now. I think they really enjoyed the Germany environment. I'm excited to see them get another game, but I did think we'd have another Mexico game. Maybe they'll make that a every couple of years thing.
I hope so, yeah. The London games are kind of getting overplayed, but I know they're trying to reach out into that market.
I did my due diligence. I read a little bit farther ahead.
There we go.
It's due to renovations taking place at the Estudio Azteca in Mexico City. So that explains it. Okay.
That does explain it.
Some more NFL news. Got to talk about the Browns. Always have to talk about the Browns. They have hired DC Jim Schwartz, my favorite Lions field head coach by far.
I don't know how I feel about Jim Schwartz.
I'm a big fan of his.
Are you?
Yes.
I feel like the players either hate him or they love him, and there's no in between.
I think he's one of those guys that he definitely was not cut out to be a head coach, not that type of guy. Because
he's definitely like a hard ass.
I think he's a good coordinator type.
Well, he's got at least one Super Bowl, maybe two. Was he the defensive coordinator of the Saints when they won and they got the bounty gate, or was that someone else? And I'm totally just...
He might have been on that staff, but he wasn't the defensive coordinator. Greg Roman was definitely the defensive coordinator during bounty
gate. Yes. Then Schwartz was on the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl, I believe.
I do have some stats on Schwartz.
Let's hear them.
So this is his defensive DVOA as head coach in D.C. since 2009. So in Detroit... First year there was 30th. That was a terrible team. Then it got 16th, 6th, then dropped to 22nd. His last year there, they were 12th.
Okay.
In Buffalo, I forgot that he had to stop in Buffalo. They were 3rd in DVOA. Philadelphia, 4th, 5th, 15th, 12th, and 15th. So he's steady there in the top half of the league and then has like some top of the league type defenses as well. Should be an improvement for them.
I would say so, yeah. And if he can get the most out of Myles Garrett in that defensive line, then I think it'll be a great hiring. They just need a little bit of secondary help, the Browns. And I don't know. I feel like every cornerback they have or they draft, like, is good right away or is good the first season. Then after that, they just, like, fall off and aren't as good. Like, Greedy Williams, I felt like, played pretty good his rookie year. Then he's kind of just steadily got worse. Denzel Ward's kind of the same transition. He's kind of getting, maybe it's just me, I don't know, maybe we need to hear from a Browns fan, but I feel like Denzel Ward's going down as well. Then would they have Greg Newsom last year as a rookie? He's been doing pretty good, but I just feel like, I don't know, their talent doesn't play up to what their names say they are. If that makes any sense.
Biggest thing with Greedy Williams is he just can't stay on the field.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him gone. I think the talent's there. And I think they should be better than they are, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's might be more on Joe Woods than it was on them.
That makes sense. Yeah, you got to get your team up to play.
Yeah.
Got to get the team up to play.
But I do love Jim Schwartz. I love his fire. You can be a bad head coach. For the Detroit Lions, we've had nothing but bad head coaches. The one thing I desperately need you not to be is boring, and he was never boring.
That's good. Yeah, he was better than Caldwell.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I will give him that. Yes.
We had some good years under Caldwell, too, but he was just so boring.
He's just blah, just right in the middle. Yep. Wouldn't give you any emotion either way, and you kind of want some of that, like you said, from your head coach.
Yeah. There's rumors that he fell asleep on the sideline.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if that's true.
I would hope not.
It seems like it's possible, and I would definitely be falling asleep in meetings listening to him talk.
Oh, yeah. He's just a lullaby. Lullaby, baby.
I think one thing that happened this week that brought both of us a lot of joy was Rob Gronkowski talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Aaron Rodgers said, quote, "Do I still think I can play? Of course. Can I play at a higher level, a high level, the highest? I think I can win MVP again in the right situation." He would also say, is that situation in Green Bay or somewhere else? He's not sure. Immediately, I think everybody is like, why the hell are you talking about MVP? And Gronk felt the same.
Yeah, who cares at this point? You've already got, what, four of them? And that's really not doing you anything at this point.
You want to play the... this is from Up in Adams' show with Kay Adams, who... no comment on Kay Adams. No comment.
Oh, I got many comments on Kay Adams.
I have a lot as well.
We're going to leave those off air, but...
Yeah, I'm going to...
She was great on Good Morning Football the last year.
We'll discuss.
I love you.
I'm totally fine with everything he said, except one major part, and that's the MVP again. It's just that I think I could win another Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and then that would have been totally fine. Like, bro, like, why are you thinking MVP? Like, don't you want Super Bowls? Like, Super Bowls are I think, five times greater than an MVP award. Like, we all know that you won the MVP a few times now, but, like, you know, everyone would know even more how many more Super Bowls you've won than MVP. So that's why I'm just a little confused about that, you know, about that quote that he just had. I mean, it should be Super Bowls. You should never be thinking the MVP when Super Bowls are twice.
And you've won four. He's won one, and you know a lot of people on Twitter and a lot of people are saying Brady wouldn't say that. Brady would say like, I want my team, I want that. And both these guys are going to have to make decisions.
I just love any opportunity to dunk on Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, really. And I agree with Gronk though. Like, obviously MVPs are cool, they're awesome. You're going to get in the Hall of Fame with them. He's got four of them, I believe. But yeah, Super Bowls are the main goal. If you're not out there to win a Super Bowl, then what are you really doing besides, I don't know, just playing selfishly. He just plays so selfishly. The way he looks at the game is very selfish for a quarterback. In quarterback, you can't be selfish at all. I don't know. It's bizarre. It says a lot to why he's only won one Super Bowl and only made it to one Super Bowl.
Yeah, if you have that mentality, that it makes a lot of sense that one of the greatest players of a generation has only been there once.
Exactly, and he says, I think it's funny, just to go on Aaron Rodgers a little bit, he said he never wanted to be like Brett Favre or whatever, the way he left things, and it's literally the exact same replica of what's happening.
They've had, what is it, like 40 uninterrupted years of Hall of Fame quarterback play and two Super Bowls?
Two Super Bowls.
I mean, I would kill for two Super Bowls, don't get me wrong, but I would too. With those guys back-to-back, you should have a lot more.
You should have a lot more. And yes, you should have a lot more. But also, then again, kind of going back to counterpoint that, it's just what Tom Brady did with the Patriots is kind of like the standard now for, not really the standard, but like what you
want. Yeah, because it's like impossible to reach, but yeah.
Yeah, like seven Super Bowls. He had six with the Patriots. Like a team's championship window now is going to be judged by what they can do compared to the Patriots in that dynasty.
Yeah.
Like even the Chiefs now, if you only get one Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes.
Failure.
Failure. That's going to be looked at like a failure because of the Patriots and what they were able to do with Tom Brady. But yeah, two Super Bowls in about 40, 30 years with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Not the greatest look, especially in the NFC, which has kind of been weaker.
Oh, yeah, you should have more appearances for sure.
More appearances for sure, 100%.
But, you might have lost a couple to Tom Brady, but...
Yeah, but still, he would have got there. I agree with you, Rob. Like, if you're not playing for Super Bowls, especially at this point in your career, you're almost done, you're towards the end, and you're just trying to get all the money you can make and win all these individual awards, you should probably just go to Jeopardy.
I think he would have if they gave him the job. I think they didn't want him.
I honestly really thought he was going to Jeopardy last year. I mean, hey, he would do good. He's a smart guy, but
I think, is he?
I don't know. I don't know. He might not be smart.
He carries himself like a smart guy. I don't know if he necessarily is. I think he's one of those. He's not dumb. I mean, he went to Cal. That's an incredibly hard school to go get into, even as a football player.
Did he graduate?
I think so.
Did he?
I don't know for sure. Don't quote me on that. Do not quote me on that. But he seems to think he's smarter than he is. I think he's one of those guys.
I agree.
A dumb, smart guy.
He wants the perception of smarting.
Yes.
Being a smarty pants. I agree. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to be back in Green Bay next year to kind of follow off that. I think he's going to be somewhere else.
I want him gone just because he's so annoying to go against. But I also think, how awesome would it be to sweep him back-to-back years, just to send him away into retirement with the Lions dominating him towards the end? I do think about that.
That would be awesome. I would like to see Justin Fields beat him once before he leaves Green Bay. But either way, I don't know. I feel like if you're Green Bay, you probably want to move on now. Like, even the fans, would want to move on. Go younger, not have to pay this guy $58 million at the start of next season. You're going to be able to get a couple first-round picks. Some team's going to trade for him. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a little tricky situation there.
Yeah, I don't know what the cap hit would be like on a trade like that, but you got to get something out of him while you can, because who knows when he's just going to walk away, hang it up, or force his way out, and then you get way less because you don't have the leverage.
I agree. Yeah, you got to do something with your Green Bay. You just don't want to... Yeah, be kind of left with a possible Calvin Johnson situation.
Oh, God.
Not to bring up Lions in that light again, but this kind of is what it kind of feels like a little bit.
Yeah, and they, speaking of the Lions, I wish they would have done right by Calvin. I still hope they do eventually give him
his
money back.
They still haven't done right by him.
It's ridiculous.
Like, why would you not want that guy in the facility all the time helping your team and whatnot? And he said he would come back to the facility if they paid him what they owe him.
Yeah, they should. They absolutely should. I mean, one of the things about the Lions is their stars do kind of hang around. Like, Herman Moore has always been at games.
Mm-hmm.
Barry's always there.
Barry's always there, yeah.
Calvin should be one of those guys as well.
He still lives in Michigan around the Detroit area,
too. Yeah, he's up there selling weed.
Yeah, he's... I feel like all the ex-athletes are getting into that now.
Yeah, especially Detroit athletes.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a weed. Red Wings hockey player Darren McCarty has a weed, which is pretty good.
That's good business nowadays. Good business.
Other Lions news, Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator, has returned, which was great news for me.
Huge for the Lions.
That was my biggest concern going into the year, was him leaving for a head coaching job. A couple hours before he announced that he was returning, there were betting odds released, and he was the odds-on favorite to be the Texans head coach, and I think definitely the Panthers, and I can't remember the second team. Maybe it was the Texans.
I think it was either the Texans or Cardinals I saw.
Cardinals. It was Cardinals. I think it's Cardinals. Yeah. Yes.
Was this his first year at Detroit, or is this his second?
First year as OC? Official offensive coordinator, but he was the tight ends coach the year before.
Okay. So, yeah, they'll be good. He'll have another year to build that chemistry with Jared Goff and get those play calls down. And, yeah, dude, I don't know. I think Detroit has a great future. Their future is looking great, and you haven't been able to say that about the Lions in a long time.
And I think this also gives – Dan Campbell now basically knows, okay, he's gone after this next season.
Yeah.
If all things go according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to find a replacement, get a replacement ready. We'll be prepared for that. Maybe you weren't as prepared this year because first-year head coach, he's 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily thinking this guy's going to be gone right away.
Yeah. Even halfway through the season, you didn't think you were going to lose him just because your record wasn't there, and you had that fantastic end of the season that pushed you, should have made you get into the playoffs.
Yes,
but
I wish. Actually, it might have been the best ending possible.
It might have been.
I think they would have played the 49ers competitively, especially if Brock Purdy started that game as poorly as he did. Well, I guess we'll get to that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But also, not losing a playoff game and being able to say we would have beat the 49ers, we would have been beat.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah, that's fantastic heading into next year. Like, yep, we could have beat them. We could have made a run in the playoffs. It's fantastic, you know? I hate the double doink for reasons but I can always say, hey, man, the Chicago Bears.
Went in there.
We're going to win that Super Bowl. There's no way that we weren't. I can always say that.
So I guess if we should get into the first game of Wild Card Weekend, which was San Francisco and Seattle.
It was a good game for the first half. Close game. Seattle had the lead at the end of half. Like you said, Brock Purdy was not playing good the first half. He looked like Mr. Irrelevant. But they came out in the second half and they freaking dominated.
I think that's actually the best case scenario for the 49ers. Brock Purdy being bad and then rebounding. That I think that tells you a lot about his moxie, his
100%.
Makeup as a player.
Yep.
Because he came in and he was 9 of 11 in the second half, which is just could not miss.
Four total
touchdowns. And one of those was a drop in the back of the end zone, which was one of the best plays of the game by it was Brandon Ayuk who dropped it, I think.
Gorgeous play. Roll out, spin, juke a couple defenders, Brock Purdy did, then hit a dime on the run, back of the end zone. Should have been caught, clearly in his hands. He's just, I think he was surprised it got there, honestly. He's like, he's probably watching. He's like, holy crap, look at this dude go. He's like, oh, it's in my hands now. I didn't get it. But yeah, that was an amazing play that didn't count. And, you know, 49ers are looking good. You know, they're my Super Bowl pick. They're looking good. And who they got this week? They got the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
That'll be a good game.
The Cowboys came out last week much better than what I thought they were going to.
I think there's – last year they met up and it was – I think the Niners blew them out, right, in the playoffs?
Yeah, the Niners blew them out. Then they went on to beat – the Packers.
It was kind of expected that the Cowboys would win last year, and now it's the inverse. So I think maybe the lack of expectation could play in the favor of the Cowboys. They seem to be a team that doesn't play well with expectations.
100%. Yep. They had a lot of expectations going in the last postseason. This postseason, they've had none because of their poopy performance in the last week, and now they're just exceeding everyone's expectations except for their kicker.
DK Metcalf looked phenomenal in this game. He always shows up in the playoffs.
He does.
Big game wide receiver for sure. I think he's well regarded as a receiver, but maybe doesn't get as much hype as he deserves because he's incredible.
He's an incredible wide receiver. Just the only knock on him is his route running. He doesn't have those precise
tight hips.
He doesn't have the precise route running. He's considered just a go and throw it up. Which DK makes like. He makes amazing catches, but he always has at least two catches that are like super easy that he bobbles the first time.
Yeah, he is one of those guys.
Or it bounces off his hands and he has to like hurry up and get it back. It's kind of a little worrisome, but he usually reels them back in.
In the big moments, he seems to show up.
Oh, yeah. You could tell Geno Smith was only looking for DK Metcalf that whole game. And for most of it, he was turning up. They just, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Just 49ers defense turned it on and Geno Smith didn't play the perfect game that they needed him to play to advance.
And that's pretty much every quarterback facing the 49ers defense has to play a perfect game because if you don't, they're going to make you pay.
100%, yeah. Yep, I agree. And there's not much else to say about that, yeah.
In the NFL, defensive consistency is super hard, but the 49ers have done it. Like every game is pretty much the same. They're going to make some plays. They're going to keep you below your season average in scoring.
Yeah, they're going to make you play in tricky situations, make you rushed, make you hurried at the line of scrimmage, maybe get you a couple false starts or I'm blanking on it. Where they don't snap the ball in time.
Oh, delay a game?
Delay a game, yes. Delay a game.
Pre-snap penalties. We also have been saying it since the trade happened, but Kyle Shanahan getting Christian McCaffrey it's unreal. It should not have been allowed. The NFL should have vetoed it like Chris Paul going to the Lakers.
My gosh,
it should not have been allowed.
Yeah, it's been unfair. Christian McCaffrey in that system is kind of just a cheat code. He's the perfect running back for Kyle Shanahan. And it looks like Purdy's might be the perfect quarterback for that system too.
It's hard to believe.
Then the next game, this game. Jacksonville and the Chargers.
Perfect Chargers.
So let me tell you a score, what the score was at one point, then I'll tell you the final score. It was 27-0 Chargers going into, I believe, the third.
So they won like 42-10 or something, right?
Yeah, you would think so. Nope, they came back. Jacksonville came back after Trevor Lawrence threw four interceptions in the first half, three in the first quarter,
pretty much
the first three drives. Jacksonville came back to win 31-30, an all-time Charger moment in the playoffs.
Big chargering.
They've already fired their offensive coordinator. I think they should fire Brandon Staley. You don't think that, but
I don't necessarily think that they should keep him, but I also don't think it's the worst decision in the world to keep him.
I do agree with that. I just think,
If they could have gotten Sean Payton, they probably should have.
Yes, if you can still get Sean Payton, I would say fire him. If not, you got rid of, what's his name, Lombardi?
Oh, yeah, Joe Lombardi is fired. He's fired,
which is good. He was just, I don't know. It didn't look good. The Chargers chargered themselves. You can see him fall apart throughout the game. The players were getting pissed off. Joey Bosa was furious throughout that game at the refs. Then the funniest part is when Joey Bosa threw his helmet on the ground, slammed it, spiked it, absolutely spiked his helmet on the ground. Then Staley went up and picked it up and gave it back to him, and Joey Bosa just spiked it right in front of him again.
So I've been a longtime Joey Bosa hater, I must admit. But his post-game interview might have made me a fan, where he's just going in on the refs, and he's basically like, if they should be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, I should have pulled it up. I should have pulled up the interview to play it. I'm going to do that right now.
I was going to say, he was talking like the refs are probably in there in their little room saying, hey, I just cost that guy 15 yards and a penalty. Yes, like, ha, ha, so ha. And Joey Bosa's like, I'm going to go in on these refs. I know I'll get fined $40,000, but they need to be held accountable.
He didn't care.
I don't blame him, honestly, because the refs, he was getting held on about every pass rush, especially in that fourth quarter. So I would be getting very upset, too. He's a competitive guy.
You do have to keep your cool at the end of the game, though, but I also do understand.
Yeah, I mean, you just blew that huge lead. It's playoffs. Yeah. You were getting held. You feel like you couldn't do anything because of it. Yeah, I understand. I would have blown up as well. Probably even worse. He kept his language in there. I would have dropped some curse words, but did you find it?
No, I did not find it.
Either way, Jacksonville came out. They won somehow. Trevor Lawrence had a great second half. First half looked absolutely terrible.
I think I have it. I think I have it. It's just not loading now.
Okay. I'll just keep talking about Jacksonville. But yeah, Jacksonville looked good. Their defense came out in that second half and really just put it on them.
Are we getting an emergency weather warning right now?
Emergency weather warning. So be prepared for that thunderstorm that's about to happen here in about an hour.
That is good. This will be out later tonight. A good warning.
Good warning. So if the winds are up, we told you here first.
Oh, I pulled out. I think it's a first take. Come on. I just want the actual interview.
Yeah, the only place I saw it on was Twitter, and that's, I don't really know how to pull stuff from Twitter too much.
I should throw in that the Chargers had 58% of their plays perfectly covered. So that's when a player in coverage receives a grade of 0 or better. So then Joe Lombardi gets fired. They were the number 2 team in that. So we'll get to the number 1 team later. I think that's kind of the story of the Chargers season. Predictable, not very creative, really holding back Justin Herbert as a passer. It's not really anything new for what's going on with Joe Lombardi.
Then playing your starters in a meaningless Week 18 game where your star wide receiver hurts his back.
Yeah.
Not the greatest look for you. Got to be honest. That's going to hurt. And it did. It came back and it hurt him.
I don't think I'm going to find this.
All right, that's okay. Yeah, but pretty much Joey Bosa just said the refs are going to be in there mocking him for calling, getting holding calls or whatever, roughing the passer, whatever they were. You're like, ha ha ha, we cost this guy 15 yards in the game, pretty much is what he's saying that the refs are talking about in their little huddles.
I love it.
But yeah, I mean, these games were a lot closer and a lot better, all in all, besides that Monday night game, than I thought. Next one up, including, I thought this was going to be a blowout. I think
same.
Buffalo was favored by almost 2 touchdowns, if not 2 touchdowns, but yeah, Miami and Buffalo.
I'm pretty sure we both said there was just absolutely no way Miami 100%. Was going to win. There was no way that they were going to compete, and then they did. And they had an opportunity to tie it late in the game, too.
Late in the game, they had a chance to send it into overtime and almost did. But yeah, Buffalo 34, Miami 31. And I'm kind of scared for my Buffalo in the Super Bowl pick right now. Their defense looked terrible.
You
can't let up that many points to a third-string rookie quarterback.
And one that, I mean,
one that's not really good.
Yeah, he's not great. He's not a Brock Purdy that's showing up and he might
No.
As Big Cat would say, another famous podcaster, that he's Kurt Warner or whatever. He's not that guy.
No, he's not. He's definitely just a lifetime backup at the best, and possibility of being out of the league in like 5 years is like ceiling and floor for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they competed. They looked good. Their defense stepped up. And Buffalo just kind of looked I wouldn't say sluggish, but I don't know. They just didn't look like a complete team out there today or this past weekend.
Defense didn't step up enough to keep the defensive coordinator's job, though. The Dolphins did fire defensive coordinator Josh Boyer.
I did see that. Yep. Sorry, Boyer. I gave you a compliment.
I think part of that was just because he was there before Mike McDaniel was there. The defense during the season had a little bit of a fall off from past years without Brian Flores there. So Mike McDaniel wanted to bring in his own guy.
Makes sense. Just keep it fresh. If you didn't hire him, you didn't come in with him. It's kind of hard to keep your job as a coach if you're not coming in with the new coaching staff.
It's always surprising when a guy does carry over. I think that says a lot about him. I wouldn't be surprised to see Boyer get another job pretty quickly, maybe as a position coach or something. But
oh yeah, 100%, I could see that happening. Then, I mean, that's pretty much all I had for that game. Anything else you wanted to touch on? I mean, Josh Allen threw for 350 yards. Diggs had 114 receiving. They still don't really have a running game, but I mean, offense looks good.
If they want to beat, I'm sure everybody knows the results of the games now by now, but if they want to beat the Bengals in the divisional round, they need to, Josh Allen particularly, needs to cut down on mistakes.
Agreed, but the Bengals didn't look that good either against Baltimore.
True. That is true. That is true.
Both teams did not look great. But, yeah, I don't know. We're going to get to see that matchup that we lost out on the other 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be exciting. Next game.
Brought us both joy.
My favorite game of the weekend. Minnesota Vikings, being the Minnesota Vikings that they are, the frauds that they are every year, they lost to the New York Football Giants 31-24.
11-0 in one-score games in the regular season, 0-1 in the postseason.
Love to hear it. Love to see it. Minnesota, your defense is atrocious, which is funny because the last 5 years you've had a pretty good defense, a defensive-minded coach, and now that you got rid of him, you got a good offense. Kirk Cousins was humming this year, but defense choked it away in the playoffs, and I'll let you take away that Kirk Cousins' last attempt to win them the game.
Why? I do not understand what was going through his head there. Fourth and eight, first of all. It's not a fourth and short. Fourth and long. He throws about 5 yards short of the sticks to TJ Hawkinson, who was dominating throughout that game.
But he was blanketed pretty much on that pass.
There was no separation. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to somehow break a tackle, throw a guy off.
Immediately break one tackle, then scamper and hopefully break another tackle just to get that first down.
And after the game, Kirk Cousins is talking about this play. And I think it kind of showcases how the Vikings season went in the regular season versus the postseason, where he's talking about how previously in games he was able to throw short of the sticks and be successful, and that it wasn't the end of the world.
Just the end of your season.
Just the end of the season, and I think for a lot of Vikings fans, maybe it did feel like the end of the world. It was one of the most mind-boggling plays to happen.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. I think he just panicked there towards the end, and his little brain went too fast for the moment, and he just panicked. He said, oh, big 8-7's open, Hawkinson. Yep. Toss him the ball, then it didn't work out. I don't know why you don't at least try to chuck it downfield.
Just give him a chance.
To Jefferson, because he makes 95% of all the catches.
So you're giving TJ Hawkinson an opportunity to win the game. Okay, I understand that. He's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5 yards short of the sticks. He's going to have to make a guy miss, like we said. Or you have Justin Jefferson, who I think was maybe double covered on that play.
More than likely.
But he's past the yard to gain, and he's the best wide receiver in the entire NFL, in my opinion.
Just go back to the Buffalo game and that play he made on fourth down.
Throw him the ball up, let him make a play. Mm-hmm. Something good happens when you try to let your best players make plays oftentimes.
Even if he doesn't catch it, you might get a pass interference.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it was a bonehead mistake. He'll probably be thinking about it for a little bit, and I honestly don't know how much longer he sticks around in Minnesota. I don't know what his contract situation is like. I feel like they re-upped him not too long ago, but I don't know.
I think they did. There was a report that they're planning to continue to build around him.
Okay, that's good.
That is typically the type of report that comes out
before
you build around a guy and before you trade a guy, so you never really know. But
that's true. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback, but he's just not going to win you a Super Bowl. And if you're perfectly fine with making the playoffs and being one and out every year, then I would say keep on letting Kirk do his thing. I mean, I'm happy. That makes me happy.
Go ahead.
Keep Kirk Cousins as your quarterback.
Go ahead.
I'm all for that.
I don't mind. Give me another weather warning here in the background. You talked about their defense being terrible. They allowed Daniel Jones to be the third quarterback in postseason history with 300 passing yards and 75 rushing yards. He joins Lamar Jackson and Steve Young.
What a list. And Daniel Jones deserves to be on it because he was easily the best quarterback from this past weekend.
He's also the first of those to get a win in that game as well.
Okay. He's going to have a little bit tougher of a challenge this week, but he knows that. They've already faced the Eagles twice.
He's going to get paid this offseason too.
Oh, he'll get paid. He'll stay in New York. Same with Saquon. He'll just bring that core back.
They have something.
They got a little bit of something. They got a good coach. I'll give them that. They don't have much talent around those two, but they got a decent offensive line now.
Isaiah Hodgins might be something at wide receiver.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's just you never know with those like practice squad signing players. They could hit for a couple games and then just disappear.
Yeah.
Next game we touched on a little bit. Cincinnati took care of business, beat the Ravens 24-17 in a close game, which Baltimore had a chance to tie at the last throw of the game. Went right off of, how do you pronounce his name?
Prochet's
hand.
James Prochet. A guy that if you read my season preview, I talked up a lot. Now, it wasn't because of any personal opinion. It was because the Baltimore beat writers gassed him pretty heavily. They rode his dick hard, as J.K. Dobbins would really enjoy, I think. But he didn't do so well this year and had a chance to win a game and just fell right through.
Yeah, it's a tough look. You watch the replay, it's like right in your hand and you drop it. But obviously, it's in the moment. You're not. You don't expect it to hit your hands like that, but
you're also probably expecting the Bengals defenders to knock the ball down instead 100%. Of tipping it up.
Yep. I never understand the whole tip up thing.
Yeah. They're trying to get that. They want that interception so bad. They're not thinking like, well, I guarantee a win here if I just knock it down.
Just volleyball spike it down.
Exactly. They need some volleyball players to give them some pointers sometimes. 100%.
They like the stats. I don't blame them. Interception looks good on the stat line, but yeah, just bat it down next time so you don't give anyone a heart attack.
This game also featured the best play of Wild Card Weekend, I think, with Sam Hubbard getting that fumble recovery, running it 94 yards, I think, is the official on the box score. But he ran like 130 yards, I think, with the zigzags and everything. It was he topped out at 17 miles per hour at a 6'6", 290-pound guy. I mean, that's insane.
That's moving. I mean, he was definitely gassed out towards the end, you could tell, but he deserved it. He deserved to be out of breath there. He made the game-winning play for his team. An Ohio boy winning it for his team that he's loved since he's grown up.
Yeah, not only an Ohio boy, I think like a Cincinnati area boy. I think he went to high school in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Grew up a Bengals fan. That's like everyone's dream to play for their childhood team and make a huge play. That would be awesome.
And the ladies in Cincinnati love that guy, let me tell you.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
All I see on Twitter is people just swooning over him.
Did you see, I saw this on Twitter, but Marlon Humphrey's sister was like, Sam Hubbard's actually kind of good looking, eye emoji. Then after the game, Marlon tweeted, "It'd be your own family, that's why we lost."
He's one of my favorite Ravens, by the way.
He's funny. He's got a personality. If you got a personality, you're going to stand out and you're going to have people like you. But yeah, I agree. I mean, Cincinnati didn't look great. Their offense couldn't get consistent drives going, really. Their defense stepped up for them like they have been all year. Tyler Huntley looked pretty good throughout the game, above average.
Until. I guess we should mention what happened on that. We didn't explain how the fumble happened. If you didn't see the game, Tyler Huntley tries to jump over the offensive line from about the 2-yard line.
Mm-hmm. Tries to go paint over
instead
the top.
Of going under for a QB sneak. First of all, I don't know why you're running a QB sneak from the 2-yard line anyway, but you definitely don't jump over the line there. It gets punched out by, I think, Logan Wilson. Sam Hubbard grabs it, runs it in for a touchdown.
And that's how you get your offensive coordinator fired.
Yeah.
Greg Romans is gone.
J.K. Dobbins was not happy about that play after the game. He said he felt like Tyler Huntley should not have been in that position because he should have gotten the ball, which I would agree with. He was pretty explosive during that game.
I agree. That was not the only thing he said about that game. He said if we would have had Lamar Jackson, we would have won.
Yes.
And which credit, probably, maybe.
Yes, just don't say that.
Just don't say that, man. You gotta be a teammate. You can't just, like, Tyler Huntley went out there, played his best. You can't just be like, you're garbage. We would have won with the other guy. Maybe it's true. Probably true the way the Bengals played that game, but, Tyler Huntley went out there. He balled. He's a good backup quarterback.
And supposedly Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson are, like, best friends. And
I believe it.
Tyler Huntley asked Lamar to come to the game and Lamar said no, which I think is interesting.
It's kind of rude.
He is in a contract dispute a little bit.
He's got his knee thing going on.
But you also have to be a teammate, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And this is a huge game, a divisional game. Yeah. You could be there on the sideline telling somebody who's supposed to be one of your best friends, hey,
give him some tips.
This here. You could have hit this guy here, run here. You know, any little bit could have helped during that game.
Against a division rival. It was very weird he wasn't there.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have
been there.
He was
at the game the week prior as well, so that made it even more weird because he was traveling with the team up until this point.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be, something. There's something going on behind the scenes that it's not going to come out unless he leaves Baltimore, but it's a weird little touchy situation going on there now.
They did say they're going to be back in contract talks. They expect him to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens GM would say that it takes two to tango, though. So, you know, to look into there, maybe.
Yes, he said they're not going to entertain any trade talks. They're going to focus on getting a long-term deal done first. But if that falls through, those trade talks will ramp better right back up.
We should also mention the Bengals are now down to two starting offensive linemen with three injured.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's happened the last like 4 weeks as well, which is crazy. They had their entire offensive line together until the end of the season, and now they're just dropping like flies.
And it showed last week. I mean, they struggled to sustain drives.
Forced to run a lot of hitch routes, quick throws for Joe Burrow, which, I mean, it was successful enough for them to win the game. Can they beat Buffalo doing that? We'll just have to see.
I mean, you got dynamic enough weapons, but yeah, just offensive line's huge in the playoffs.
I told you this, that I had $200 on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. As soon as Jonah Williams went down, I cashed it out. I got my $200 back. And then during the game, they started to win again. So I put 90 on them. So I still have a bet on them to win the Super Bowl, but it's substantially less.
Yeah, not as confident.
Nervous. I was nervous.
Yeah, I would have been nervous too, honestly. Losing linemen is not ideal. But hey, they made it there last year with no offensive line.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I put the other one back. It's Joe Burrow. He can do it. He can do it.
He can do it. He would be the one quarterback. I mean, I just like watching the AFC this year. There's so many good quarterbacks in the playoffs right now, and they're all young. Like, this is the next. We're getting out of the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees eras, and now we're getting into the young guns coming up, taking over the league, which is exciting. Oh, excuse me there.
It's a real introduction to these guys.
100%, I mean,
we've known Mahomes for a while. Allen's been kind of in that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Burrow has like finally really cemented himself in that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got the whole ESPN crew today, and people like that are debating who would you rather start your franchise with, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. And I saw a lot of Joe Burrow picks, which I would agree with.
I think I agree as well. I love Josh Allen.
I do, too. Josh Allen's got more of an arm, more arm talent, but he's just more, what do you want to say?
Well, he's a gunslinger.
He's a gunslinger. We like gunslingers. Yeah. But yeah, he's a risk taker.
More mistake prone.
Yeah, more mistake prone. There you go. And Joe Burrow just, I don't know, he just throws a dot. He throws dots.
Yeah, some of his ball placement is just,
it's magnificent. It doesn't even make sense. Like, he just fits it in. It's a pretty to watch. It really is. Then the Monday night game, which was
not
interesting. I tuned out after halftime, as any normal person should have, because Dallas destroyed. Destroyed. Yeah, destroyed would be the word. 31-14. Tampa Bay looked like garbage. Offense terrible. Couldn't move the ball. Couldn't complete a two-yard pass. Tom Brady looked scared. He did not want to take a hit. He didn't want to get touched by the other team.
He is scared now.
100%. If someone comes within a foot, he will just throw that ball immediately out of bounds or into the ground.
Did find a way to get 350 yards, though. That's why he's the GOAT.
He did. I mean, he's still almost threw for 5,000 yards in the regular season, too. Yep. But, oh, my God, watching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers try to move the ball is painful. It reminds me of watching the Bears team from last year or the year before that. They could not get a first down. Every throw was in the dirt or behind a wide receiver. Running game, playoff Lenny was not playoff Lenny. Their backup running back was decent. They just didn't give him the ball too many times because they fell behind early.
Yeah, it's hard to run the game when you're down 30 points real quick.
I've been hard on Dak all year. I'm not a Dak guy. I don't think he's great, but he came out, shut me up. He played fantastic, probably his best game of the year. And the only takeaway from Dallas is you got a little bit of an extra point problem with your kicker who missed an NFL record 4 in a row.
Four. From every angle. You heard that correctly.
Yeah.
Four in a row.
Wide right, wide left. I'm pretty sure he doinked one, too. It was a sight to watch.
The Cowboys did sign Tristan Viscano to possibly replace
Brett Maher. Who's that? No one here knows, but he's a kicker.
He is a kicker. I mean, Brett Maher was one of the best kickers in the regular season.
Yeah, he's a great long-distance kicker. I don't know what happened that game. He just completely, after the second one missed, you just kind of knew it wasn't going to be pretty, and it wasn't pretty. Four in a row, that's insane.
And special teams in the playoffs are very important.
It's huge. They are lucky they were playing the Buccaneers, or else they would have lost that game, because that's, what, 4 or 5 points
you're
missing right there? Yeah. If they played an offense that could move the ball and get first downs, they would have been in trouble that game.
As mentioned before, we would get to the most predictable team in the playoffs. That was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 60% of their plays were perfectly covered, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, because they're 2 yard screens.
That got Byron Leftwich fired as well.
As it should. Todd Bowles should be gone too.
Yeah, I think he's proven to not be a good head coach. This is his second stop. He hasn't done well at either one of them.
Either one. He needs to go back to being a defensive coordinator. Just stick in that niche.
Yeah, he's a great defensive coordinator.
Great defensive coordinator.
Even the defense fell off with him as head coach because he's
100%.
He can't be as hands on in that side of the ball.
Yeah, if you're Tom Brady, you take a. If you can have a time machine, you go back a year, and if you continue, you want to continue to play football, you make sure Bruce Arians is the head coach, not Todd Bowles, or you just retire and go be with your family and not have that whole thing go to poop.
So one of the things, everybody wants to call Tom Brady washed, which I mean, like
he looked like it last game. He
almost had 5,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 67% completion percentage. If that's washed... I mean, maybe for Tom Brady, that's washed, I guess.
Let me throw you this. Tom Brady wants to sign with Detroit. Yes or no?
Yes.
1 year. Over golf?
Yes.
Okay. I would say no.
I mean, I'm a Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, that's true.
I'm a big Tom Brady
fan. That's true.
I love Tom Brady.
That was an unfair question. I forgot about the Michigan roots.
But I also think that his biggest issue is when he is pressured, and the Lions have one of the best offensive lines in football. So he would look better behind that Lions offensive line.
I also forgot Lions had one of the greatest offensive lines. Bad question by me. I didn't think it through. He would be good on the Lions, but...
Now, if I was the Bengals and say the Bengals had Jared Goff instead of Joe Burrow, I would keep Goff, I think. Because Goff looks terrible under pressure, too.
He's
so
terrible.
It's
that's
just
a
one
bad
of those.
One.
Yeah, it's, never mind. Never mind.
All right, here we go. Brock Purdy or Tom Brady? Because that's
that
realistic.
Could happen.
Realistic. And say 49ers make it to the Super Bowl. Say they don't win, but they make it to the Super Bowl.
You got to keep Brock Purdy.
You don't let. What if Brock's cool with, like, yeah, I'll sit behind Tom Brady for a year. I'll learn.
Maybe give it a go.
Yeah.
But that's also if you get to a point where you're like, shit, it's actually not working with Tom. You can't bench Tom Brady.
No, you'd have to. Yeah, I don't even know if you can.
You'd
trade
have to
him.
Kill him. You'd have to have him assassinated. Yeah. You couldn't do anything else.
Or in prison for crypto or something.
Yeah, you have to plant some evidence or something.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. I don't know where Tom's going to go after this year. I think he will come back and play.
And I think he can. I don't know if he's not a guy that elevates his talent anymore.
No,
I will say that. But he can be successful still. I think he showed that. They were a predictable offense in Tampa Bay, not a great offensive line, which he needs desperately.
Yeah, he needs 100%. He needs an offensive line. And that eliminates a lot of teams because not a lot of teams have good offensive lines besides what I would say this year. The Eagles have a good one. Detroit has a good one. And outside of that, I don't know a real dominant offensive line. Maybe the Cowboys, but even then they've had injuries and it's not looking great. But I don't know.
49ers.
49ers are up there. Vegas is a spot that he could go just because of Josh McDaniels and whatnot.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. Maybe Miami. Miami. He gets his ownership stake. He gets to live in Miami.
It does seem like ownership there might not be in love with Tua. I don't think it would be a Mike McDaniel decision.
No, it would definitely be whoever owns the Dolphins.
And I would love that to happen just because seeing Tom Brady interact with Mike McDaniel would be incredible. I do not think that's a personality match. It would be really fun to watch those guys talk.
Quick throwback to the Dolphins game. Did you see Mike McDaniels get caught on the sidelines hitting a vape? And I don't even think it was a tobacco vape. Look at that guy's eyes. He was high as a mother.
I didn't see
Hunter.
It. I saw people on Twitter talking about it. I still haven't seen the video.
It's funny.
It's incredible to hear.
Just see him. It's like he's trying to hide it in his fist, so he's got his palm closed, and he's just...
He looks like that guy.
Oh, 100%. He's such a... He's like a sneakerhead. Like, I don't know. He's like... I don't know how to explain that.
He's like a little hipster dweeb.
He is, 100%, yeah. And I guarantee that was not nicotine. He was smoking weed on the sidelines.
I would love if he's just chiefing on the sidelines.
He was smoking some ganja on the sidelines.
I can't wait for him to retire and start his weed brand.
Oh, 100%, yeah. He'd be a coach that would have a podcast during the season. He would be the only coach to create a podcast.
Please, Mike.
Then just have his own players on.
Get a Super Bowl and just do a podcast.
But with that said, I am a fan of Mike McDaniels. I think he's a good coach. You can't be vaping on the sidelines, especially when you're getting delays of games, 5 times a game, not getting your plays called in on time.
Well, if he's high, that would explain that.
Dude, I'm telling you.
He'll slow down a little bit.
I would bet half of my savings on that he was high during that game hitting that pen because he was out of it. Oh, my
gosh. I do like that he's been semi-successful. I think... With Tua was healthy, they would have been much better, probably higher seed.
Oh, yeah. It was a success for a year for the Dolphins. I mean, they got one step further than they usually do. They usually win enough games to lose out on the playoffs by one game. And this time, they won enough games to make it in the playoffs by one game. So, That's a slight W, but yeah, the Dolphins have always just been in the middle of the pack team for like ever since they had Tannehill. Even when Tannehill was there, they was always one game out of the playoffs or they're just making it, and it kind of still seems to be that way for the Miami Dolphins these past 10 years.
I think they desperately need to be good enough to get a home game, because any of these northern teams coming down to Florida late.
Yep. Unless Jacksonville gets the one seed too.
Yeah. it's just a Florida matchup. Yeah.
We did have an all Florida playoffs. Jacksonville, Bucks, and Miami.
Oh.
All Florida playoffs for the first time in a while.
I did not even put that together.
I didn't put that together until the other day. I forgot about it and I just remembered it. But that's kind of nifty.
Florida man going crazy.
Florida's going crazy. They beat out California for the most teams.
So move on to divisional round now?
Yeah, let's do a little division round
some
preview.
Picks. The first game, Saturday, 4:30, Kansas City, Jacksonville.
The young guns. Some young guns.
I want this to be a good game. Do you think it's going to be a good game?
No.
No?
No.
No shot?
I don't know. It depends. It depends what Trevor Lawrence comes out. If he comes out like he did the last game, no chance. They're going to lose by a lot. I don't think the Chiefs are going to let him get back in.
Trevor Lawrence, it could be fun.
It could be a good game. I agree. Chiefs defense, really their whole defense is Chris Jones. If Chris Jones can wreck your offensive line, they're going to win, and you're not going to score many points. But if you can get the ball out quick and not let Chris Jones destroy your offensive line, you'll be in the game. You're going to have to put up points, obviously, to match Patrick Mahomes and Kelce on the other side. But I don't know. It's not the same Chiefs team. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but they haven't been dominating teams like we're used to seeing. So it could be anyone's game, or it could also be a Chiefs blowout. So I don't know.
One thing when we were talking about the Jacksonville Chargers game last week, when we were picking that game, we wrote Jacksonville off.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing we didn't consider was that Doug Peterson just wasn't going to be outcoached by Brandon Staley.
And he wasn't, yeah.
And but I don't think he can outcoach Andy Reid.
No, both have won Super Bowl.
That is true.
Both have won Super Bowl.
That is true. I think Doug Peterson maybe doesn't get the credit he deserves for being a good coach. I don't think he should have been fired in Philadelphia. They've turned out okay, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But probably shouldn't have lost that job. A great hire by Jacksonville.
I agree.
I'm still taking the Chiefs.
Oh, I'm going to take the Chiefs, too. Battle of some ex-Philadelphia coaches.
I want it to be competitive, though. I want the good Justin Lawrence, I was going to say. I want the good Trevor Lawrence to show up.
Imagine if they got combined and it was Justin Lawrence.
Now, would it be Justin Herbert or Justin Fields?
Ooh, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence combined.
That'd be the best quarterback
of
all time.
Yeah, that'd be the best. You get the arm and you get the freaking running back stuff. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. But yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City. I hope it's going to be close. You know, I am going to say it's going to be close. It's the playoffs. It's going to be close. We had some close games last week. Let's keep it continuing. Next game, we got the Giants in Philly. Third time's the charm, maybe, for the Giants to get a win?
Jalen Hurts' shoulder might still be iffy. He was off the injury report yesterday, but I'm not so convinced that it's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That could cause some problems for Philadelphia.
Could. Lane Johnson's hurt, but he's playing.
The Giants have played them pretty tough.
They have. They almost won the last time they matched up. With them resting most of their players, too, and the Eagles were starting, like, all their players to get that one seed.
I'm probably going to regret this. I'm taking the Giants.
You know, I was thinking about it, but I'm going to let you go with that one. I'm going to stick with Philadelphia just because I want to see a Philly 49ers conference game. That'd be amazing. But, yeah, I would not be surprised if the Giants win this game. They've been playing good as a team. Daniel Jones has looked like a Pro Bowler. Dable. This could be for Coach of the Year battle right here.
The Giants' defensive stars have stepped up in the last couple weeks, particularly last week. Dexter Lawrence was incredible. They could not block him. Minnesota could not block him.
He's an athlete. He's an athlete for a D-tackle.
Kayvon Thibodeaux, I think, going to be a star.
He got hurt last
Jackson
game.
Looks like a good corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to pull it out.
I would hope so. I would say, yeah, I mean, I think Coach of the Year votes are already in, but these would be my top two coaches right now, and Doug Peterson.
Yeah, you think you got to throw Doug Peterson in there. I would have put Dan Campbell, but then Dan Campbell was on the Manning cast for Monday Night Football, and he basically said it's got to be Brian Daboll or Doug Peterson. So, all right.
Okay, fair enough.
I took to Dan Campbell. Had to.
Fair enough. He gave it to him because they made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Respect. I got the Philly. You got Giants?
Yes.
All right.
Daniel Jones, prove me right. I was riding the Giants wave pretty much all year, and then I didn't pick them last week, and I feel bad about that.
I did pick them last week.
I don't know why I didn't. I just kind of thought like the story was going to be the Vikings winning and then getting smoked the next week. Happy to see them not here, though.
Me too. Me too. Then we got the highly anticipated game that we were missed out on four quarters of it the 1 week. Bengals and Bills. What are your thoughts?
This is a tough, tough game for me to pick. Both of them didn't look great in their first playoff game.
Agreed.
I think I had the Bengals winning.
I think you did too, yeah, because you had a future on them.
I just don't know how this... This is the definition of a coin flip for me.
100%, I was going to say the same thing. Coin flip game. It could go either way. I'm just going to say Buffalo because I have them in the Super Bowl, but not going to be surprised either way. I think it's going to be a close game. No blowouts. Going to be within three, one score game the whole time. Or not the whole time, but ending one score. And honestly, it's just whatever quarterback doesn't turn the ball over and makes the most plays.
To me, the four best teams in the NFL are, in no order, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, and the 49ers. So to get this matchup in the divisional round is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. I guess it had to happen. Obviously, it had to happen. But
yeah.
I'm taking the Bengals. I do still have that future.
There you go. You got to stick with it.
If Josh Allen comes and doesn't make any mistakes, it's going to be a tough game for them to win because I assume the Bills are going to be able to get some pressure.
Mm, you got to figure that they're going to bring DeMar Hamlin out there for the game.
They have to.
They have to give him that bump, that extra bump.
I think they should have him in uniform.
Like pads and all?
Pads and all?
All right, there we go.
With the helmet. He's not going to play. But
just tease him. Just send him out there and be like, is he going out there? No, yep. Come back.
He's got to be given the pregame speech.
Oh, yeah, pregame speech for sure. I've seen that he's been on campus, as you could say, on their practice facility and everything all week with the team, getting more time there with them each day, which is good. Very good to see.
I think they got to have him send a DM to T. Higgins and be like, why'd you do this to me? Just get his head.
Just make T. Higgins sad make him and feel bad.
He's just completely out of the game after that. Or he's just like pissed off. He's like, wait, what the fuck? And then he just goes crazy.
Just goes off 200, three bombs.
It could work in the reverse way.
Yeah, I don't know. Both teams have, let's word that correctly, just a large amount of playmakers on both sides of the ball. It's going to be a good game. There's going to be a lot of good plays made. And yeah, honestly, I think it might come down to who has the ball last.
I should also mention two of my favorite linebacking duos on both teams. Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson for the Bengals, and Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano for the Bills.
Solid.
Two of the top three or four linebacking duos in the NFL. I love those guys.
I would agree. I would agree with that. I'm going to take the Bills, but person who has the ball last, I think is going to win.
Better be a good game. What I don't want to see is Burrow just on his back the entire game.
Yeah.
I need Joe Burrow to be able to stand up and stand in the pocket and deliver some deep balls to Jamar Chase.
We need a shootout, like 40, 43 to like 38 or
please.
Something. Yeah,
please.
Yeah, just a nice shootout. Then the Sunday night game, an old-time classic matchup, 49ers, Dallas Cowboys.
This really depends on what version of the Cowboys shows up.
I would agree. And if Brock Purdy doesn't come out like he did in the last game in the first half.
I think Dallas at their peak could be the best team in the NFC. I think Dak at his peak, when he's playing at his absolute best, he's in that top five quarterback conversation.
What?
He's just not. No. Hold on. Let me finish.
In the playoffs maybe right
let
now.
Let me finish. When he's at his absolute best, he can play to the caliber of those guys. He just doesn't do it enough. So he does it to the point where I would probably put him in the 10 to 15 range, typically. But when he's at his absolute best, he can compete with those top guys. Will that be the Dak that shows up against an incredible 49ers defense? I'm not so sure.
No, it's not. I'm going to take the 49ers by 10.
10!
49ers defense is going to cause problems for Dak Prescott.
The Cowboys defense will cause problems, just as many problems for Purdy.
I don't think so, though. They got too many weapons. They got too many fast weapons. They get the ball out of his hand quick. I don't know. I can see that. Micah Parsons, I believe, can cause problems.
He's a freak.
He's
Leighton Vander Esch has been showing up. He hasn't.
He's been showing up a little bit.
His first couple of years, I thought he was going to be one of the best linebackers in football. He's had injuries, poor performances. I think he's kind of getting back towards his peak.
He is. Yeah. I honestly didn't think he'd be on Dallas still with all his injuries and everything. But he's came back. He's climbed out of that injury hole. But I don't know. 49ers, how do you get to stop Debo? And if Debo's not getting the ball, you got Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's not getting the ball, you got Kittle. Kittle don't have the ball, you got Ayuk.
Yeah.
Ayuk don't got the ball. You got, what, they got Jeff Wilson back there as a backup running back? No,
Elijah Mitchell.
Elijah Mitchell, yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
Elijah Mitchell, in my opinion, top 20 running back, top 15 running back, and he's a backup.
Dang, that's a bold statement.
I love Elijah Mitchell. I adore Elijah Mitchell.
Elijah Mitchell or Zeke?
Currently, Elijah Mitchell.
Yep, I would agree with that. Zeke, you're not gonna be a Cowboy next year. I just want to tell you that you're not gonna be a Cowboy. Oof. You're just, oh my god. I like Zeke. I've liked him since he was Ohio State. Liked him his first year. Then he kind of just, ever since he got that stomach tattoo. That's a terrible tattoo because Zeke's the guy that's gonna balloon up after the NFL, and it's gonna look terrible. You could be a fat guy,
big ass belly with a stomach
that says "Feed me." Well, you could be a big dude that says "Feed me."
I'm supposed to get a tattoo with my sister this summer when we're on vacation.
There you go.
And
first one?
Hey. Talking about where we're going to get it or whatever. I don't even remember where she told me to get it, but I was like, I'm fat. I can't get it there. I cannot get it there. So you have to be self-aware.
Oh, 100%. Yep. That was bad placement by Zeke because he's just, we've already seen him balloon up a little bit in off seasons. He's not going to have the abs forever. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sold on the Cowboys. Everyone loves the Cowboys. The love's kind of gone away this postseason a little bit, but I don't know. I'm in love with the 49ers for some reason. I just think they're freaking dynamic.
I'm taking the 49ers. I love that team too. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Cowboys in the NFC Championship.
I would be very surprised. I'm just going to put it that way. If they win this game, I will be very surprised. I don't know why. I don't know if it's confidence in the 49ers.
I need this to be a good game now so I can look like a genius. Yeah, even if they don't win.
I just think, 49ers by at least 10. Dallas, I'm sorry. Jerry Jones, not this year.
It is there's no way that Kyle Shanahan isn't out-coaching Mike McCarthy, though. There's just no way.
No, there's not. Mike McCarthy. Oh, love Mike McCarthy. Anything else you want to touch on? That was the last... divisional round game.
Yes.
I think I'd know these better.
No.
I mean, besides the firing of multiple assistant coaches this week.
There's only one. We did mention Greg Roman steps aside, right?
Yeah, Greg Roman's.
They fired him, but they said he resigned.
Yeah. They gave him the polite way out. We got that. We got Harbaugh's going back to Michigan, so he's not up for any head coaching jobs anymore.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be talking about that next offseason, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Russell Wilson wants Sean Payton. I don't know if we touched on that.
We did not. We should talk about that.
Yeah, yes. Russell Wilson came out, has individually texted Sean Payton saying he wants him to be his coach and that he wants him to fix him.
Hopefully, Russ developing some self-awareness.
Self-awareness?
Maybe social awareness, too.
Maybe he might need some social skills.
There was a report that he wanted to be traded to the Saints, talking about Russ, before he ended up at the Broncos while Sean Payton was still at the Saints, and the Saints never reached out. And Sean Payton had a lot of roster control, so if he wanted Russ, it seems like a move that they would have been able to make. So maybe he's not a fan of Russ?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do believe, though, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, I still love Russ. I don't know why. This last season should make me want to jump off a cliff. But
you always want to think he can be the guy that he was before, because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I think so. I think so now. Like, I'm scared to say it. If he has one more bad year, I think he might get kicked out of the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Troy Aikman's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but Troy Aikman has the whole Dallas Cowboy thing, and that gives you, like, an automatic 3 votes.
I actually wanted to bring this up when I'm talking about Dak. I think Dak is the best quarterback in Dallas Cowboys history. And number 2 is Tony Romo.
I think Tony Romo's better than Dak, but Tony Romo is just a huge choker.
You agree putting Tony Romo ahead of Aikman, though?
Yeah. Okay. Aikman was overrated. He just had wide receiver galore.
I think he had like over 20 touchdowns like twice in his career or something.
Yeah, he's a better broadcaster. Let's just say that. He's good with Joe Buck. Oh, my gosh. First off, Tony Dungy calling a game.
Yes,
Tony Dungy calling a game. When was the last time he called a game? I didn't see him for pregame in studio. I'm like, oh, that's weird. He might be sick. Then once they shifted over to Jacksonville, I'm like, what are you doing on my TV screen right now?
They were
terrible.
I don't want to say bad things about Al Michaels because he's
this whole season he's been terrible. Goat. He's been terrible this season. He's hated on Amazon. He hates crappy games. We know, and they just brought no energy.
Yeah, I think he needs to retire.
He needs to retire.
He's one of my favorites of all time.
No, 100%.
Maybe my favorite. Like him at his peak is
100%
greatest of all time level.
Yes.
Commentator, but he has been terrible.
Yeah, you can just tell he's doing it for the money right now. He don't care about calling these games.
He just wants to eat his full steak meal.
That's a baller move. That's ultimate respect. You request a full course meal. No vegetables. If he sees a vegetable, he will stab you. And that's not an exaggeration. He wants meat and cheese.
Every time I hear somebody bring that up, I think they're lying, but it's true.
It's true. There's been multiple stories that came out and said, yeah, Al Michaels has a full course meal. They set him up with freaking, oh my gosh, I can't even think. They literally built him a little dining room in the back of their broadcast booth. With tablecloths, utensils, fine dining, fine china, give him a steak and some shrimp.
And he's just on FanDuel eating his steak.
Yeah, he's got 8 minutes to eat it too, to eat this fat meal. And he just puts it away and gets back on the mic. It's amazing. He's a legend, but he has not had fun calling games this year.
Maybe that's why he's so upset at the end of games now, is because he just has to take a shit.
Probably. He's got the meat sweats going on.
Meat sweats. His stomach is just heavy.
He's just gargling towards them. I don't blame them, but yeah, they did not do a great job capturing the craziness that was that Jacksonville game.
One of the games that should have brought the most excitement of the entire week was the most boring game to listen to.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I follow some of the Barstool people on Twitter, and you saw Dave Portnoy was going off on that. He was making videos. He was like, what the hell are we doing? This is the most important play call of the weekend, and you're asleep on the mic or something like that. He was raging. I'm like, he's right. I mean, you should probably bring a little more excitement to it, but it is what it is. I don't remember when Tony Dungy last called a game, so that kind of threw me for a loop.
I think he's maybe some NFC or NBC games previously, but I can't remember either.
Mm. I would say, yeah.
He was also on Twitter yesterday talking about how kids are supposedly getting the cat litter to act like cats or whatever in school. Like,
what is this?
You haven't heard this?
No, what is this cat litter thing?
Well, first of all, it's bullshit.
Is this like the South Park episode where they used to get high off cat piss?
Well, so the real story is a school in the Columbine School District.
Okay.
They get cat litter and they have go boxes if they have to go in a lockdown. So if they're in an active shooter lockdown,
homeboy's going to pull down his pants and poop in a litter box. What?
So that's the real story. Then that got turned into people saying that, I think as an attack on transgender people, that kids now want to be cats and are being classified as felines. So schools are getting cat litter litter boxes, I don't know, to appease them. So that's the story now. Tony Dungy apparently buys into that.
I can believe it. I mean, I got a cousin that goes to school in Illinois, and she's got a couple of the furries that walk around there with tails. On my life, I promise you this is legit. They walk around with tails and stuff like that.
I mean, I know furries are a thing, but it's just like in high school, you know that? Is your thing already?
That's weird. It's beyond wild to me. But you know what? People do what they want to do. As long as you don't come near me with your little tail wagging, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. If a girl ever walks in the bedroom dressed up as a dog, I'm running.
I'm out, bro.
I'm running.
I'm good. I want a normal person. It's so hard to find normal people, it feels like, nowadays.
Let me ask you this, though. It's Rihanna, and she wants you to dress up as a dog. She wants to be a cat. Are you doing it? It's Rihanna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. I agree.
I'm going to make a video of that.
She's one of the few. She's one of the few that I might just...
Yeah, I'm making a video, and I'm selling the video, too. Going to make some money off this thing if I'm going to be dressed up as a dog.
If I'm doing this, yeah, I might as well be a millionaire.
That's it. That was it for Gunslingers. There you go. We had a little furry talk towards the end. Everyone loves that.
One of those unexpected things. You never know what you're going to get.
All right, what's your Gunslinger guarantee this week?
Oh.
Mine's 49ers by 10. I'm sticking to it.
I don't know what the point spreads are right now.
I don't either. Just make it up. Make it up.
No, I can't.
I'm not a big bettor.
I'm not really sold on any of these teams to win. I think any could go back and forth.
Just got to drop your balls out there.
I think I'm going to say the Giants to cover.
There we go.
Whatever that point spread is, they're going to cover.
Doesn't matter, they're covering it.
I'm going to put that bet in right now, actually.
Dude, I've been trying. Okay, little rant about gambling here. I'm not a huge gambler, but I tried to place a nice parlay last weekend. Guess what my first leg of this parlay was? Dawson Knox, first touchdown score. What freaking hit? Dawson Knox, first touchdown score. But it would not let me submit deposit money. So I could not deposit money for my bet slip, and I saw I would have won. I would have won over $2,000.
Oh, no.
I tried 10 different times, two different apps, tried the Barstool one, tried DraftKings, and tried BetMGM. No one would take my money, and I'm still a little butthurt.
So I had one. It was Bengals money line, Jamar Chase anytime touchdown score, Jamar Chase over 74.5 yards, J.K. Dobbins anytime touchdown score. Those all hit.
Nice.
The leg that missed, I had the Bengals as first half winner and end of regulation winner.
Ooh.
So you're down by, was it one or three or whatever at halftime? I would have won like $800 or something.
Yeah, that would have been a nice night.
Fucking Bengals.
Fucking Bengals. Well, you don't got to worry because they're going to lose this weekend, right?
No.
Nah, I tried to trap you there.
No.
All right.
We'll be back breaking down all the divisional round games.
See you next week, folks. Bear down. Number one pick.